There's a new article that's called this, Trump's federal pay freeze will mean a raise for the rest of us. The author of the article is John Tamney, who is an economist, author of The End of Work. He is with FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org, for more information. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And John, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so talk about Trump's federal pay freeze and what that means for the rest of us.
Well, the basic point I'm making is something that's so obvious I can't believe that it even needs discussing, but there are only government jobs insofar as there's wealth being created in the private sector. If the private sector in the U.S. was unproductive, if the people here weren't creating a lot of wealth, government would not have the funds to employ millions of people. And so anytime you freeze the compensation of federal employees, what you're essentially doing is reducing the amount of dollars that go to their salaries, and as such, at least in theory, those dollars are remaining in the private sector where they'll be productively invested on the way to better, higher-paying jobs in the actual private sector.
Okay, now, how big is the federal government in general?
Well, if you go beyond, I can't speak to specific number of employees. I know that this pay freeze is, assuming it goes through, is expected to impact 2 million government employees, basically those non-military. But if you look at the federal government broadly, at least right now, it costs roughly $4 trillion a year. And so you think about what that means. That's $4 trillion that could go toward the creation of a future Microsoft or Amazon or Intel. Think about all the amazing business concepts that are dying before our eyes today simply because they lack the capital to take what is an exciting concept and expand on it. And one reason for this is because the federal government is so large. Its existence is a massive tax on economic progress and, by extension, our salaries.
You know, it's interesting when you think about it. Donald Trump doesn't fit the mold, obviously, of former presidential candidates and former presidents. Here's a man that was successful in the business realm and then ran for office, not having even served as a dog catcher. In some ways, are we seeing essentially a successful businessman now? Here he is running the country.
I don't think so. And let me explain why. I get your point, but I think there's this myth that businessmen logically translate well to government because people say, well, you know, they'll bring their business ideas of achievement to the government sector. My response has always been, there's no way. That's not a knock on Trump. It cannot happen. Businesses are businesses because failure relentlessly informs the equation. Bad ideas are relentlessly forced to die. Compare that to the government sector, in which every single entity, basically, the more that it fails, the more dollars it gets. The more that it fails in its stated mission, the more employees it gets. And so with government, bad ideas live forever. In the private sector, bad ideas die rather quickly. And so I think the mistake is that business people think, oh, well, I'll get into government and run it like a business. No, you can't, A, but B, your desire to do things is mistaken on its own. The best thing you can do with government is just shrink it. So in this case, I think Trump is doing something laudable. I would just say he's not doing enough of it.
You know, I'm reminded of a quote from Ronald Reagan to the effect of something like this: the closest thing to eternal life, on Earth is a government program. In other words, no matter what happens, you can't seem to kill this thing.
Well, and it's so very true. Imagine if Jeff Bezos were senator from Washington State and Warren Buffett were senator from Nebraska. Some would say, oh, well, they're here, so now government spending will be allocated more wisely. And I keep writing, in fact, it wouldn't. And it wouldn't simply because any government program is forever, per the Reagan quote. Any time government starts something, a paid and vocal constituency is created, thus making it difficult to shut down what doesn't make sense. Jeff Bezos's genius is an effect of the fact that he's been failing and failing in massive fashion for decades. By his own admission, he's spent billions on failures. Warren Buffett has had lots of failed investments. Steve Jobs had countless failed products. That's the only way you can succeed. The problem here is that in government, the bad ideas are funded forever. And so the only thing you can really hope to do is shrink what's already not working.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Or
you know,
freeze in place.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's the idea of drain the swamp and the presidential promise on Trump's part. And there's obviously a tremendous amount of pushback against the president and resistance and so forth. Do you think that some of what we're seeing is there are, you know, government employees with lifetime tenure just about, and they don't like what Trump's trying to do to shrink the government in some ways?
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, what you describe is exactly what's happening. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. Either party, the government grows under, and it grows under because all of these bad ideas have constituencies such that they last forever. You know, because, and that's why it's great that Donald Trump is basically doing, in fact, he's exactly doing what Barack Obama did in 2011. Of course, no one overreacted when Obama froze federal pay. They do with Donald Trump, and we know why that's true. It's, again, this is not me saying love or hates Donald Trump. There was just a different reaction to it. And so in my perfect world, the response from President Trump would be, wait, we employ 2 million people doing what? Why wouldn't just about everything that the federal government does, the private sector by definition can do much better. And so rather than freezing pay in place, why don't we hold every federal activity up to a constitutional light, and that which makes no sense, let's do an up or down vote in Congress as to whether or not we should sunset it. Now, of course, what you'd see happen is what you describe. Republicans and Democrats have lots of constituents who earn money based on the federal government being large, who earn money because they work for the federal government. They're not about to go for something that shrinks what makes them important.
Some of the wealthiest bedroom communities in the whole country are in Northern Virginia, you know, living in the D.C. area, and then parts of Maryland also, again, in the D.C. area.
Yeah, you know, it used to be decades ago, I think people somewhat assumed properly that, oh, government work isn't very lucrative. And to be clear, you're not going to make, generally not going to make millions working in government now unless you can lobby it after the fact, in which case there's lots of money to be made, and that's unfortunate. But in modern times, amid all this massive prosperity in the U.S., we've kind of fallen asleep on the idea that, hey, wait a second, government keeps growing, and with its growth, we're able to pay more and more people to work in what's forever. And that's unfortunate, because you think about what stress does to us in the private sector. It brings out the best in us. Recessions bring out our higher IQ that's within us, but that we don't always exercise unless we're imperiled. The shame about government spending and all this waste is that we employ lots of people in suboptimal fashion. Think about this. The worst scenario they face is a pay freeze. Compare that to the private sector. What we face every day is that this could be our last day on the job. Yet we have 2 million people not stretching themselves, not bettering themselves, because they know in many instances that no matter what they do, they'll get a paycheck that at worst will once again be frozen. What does that do for people? So it's bad for us economically. It's bad for our paychecks in the private sector, but it's bad for the people in its employ.
You know, it's scary, too, when you think about the fact that, okay, we spend $4 trillion a year, but I don't believe the revenue that we receive as a government covers all of that, so then there's a deficit. Well, now we're up to $22 trillion in hard money owed. You know, that's our national debt. Somebody's got to pay that off someday, and that thing just keeps going up, and so we have a kind of almost a vicious cycle here, no matter who the president is. Although I think under Obama, the spending just, he brought that national debt way higher than anybody before him or since.
Well, and you know, I would just say to that a couple of things. For one, the Republicans had control of Congress at least from 2010 on, and they didn't do anything about the spending. And so it's a reminder that, okay, President Obama was president, but Congress had the power of the purse. It was run by Republicans. What did they do? They obviously didn't do anything. My fear about discussion of deficits is I think that hands the argument to those who are in favor of big government and ever higher taxes. Implicit in a fear of deficits is that we've got a revenue problem. No. We have got a spending problem.
Right.
Government spends too much money. And so my question that I always ask, what would you prefer? An annual budget deficit of $1 trillion on $1.5 trillion in spending, or a balanced budget of, let's just say, $4 trillion? The obvious answer is the budget deficit scenario, because it amounts to much lower government spending overall. Government deficits are just accounting. That's just merely the government borrowing and paying us for the right to waste our wealth as opposed to just taking our wealth. And so I think the focus has always got to be on the spending itself. All government spending is deficit spending, because the wealth was not created by government. It was taken or borrowed from the private sector. We need to limit the spending, and then we're better off.
All right. Here's a quote from you. The federal government costs $4 trillion per year means that Americans, and realistically people around the world, think about it, in the private sector earn less. Okay. I think you've already kind of covered that main point. Government is a cost that limits savings and investment. Why don't you wax more on that particular point?
Well, because, and this is why it impacts people from around the world. Governments around the world buy up treasury debt. Well, those governments are only able to do it insofar as they tax the earnings of people from around the world. And so think about what that means. Otherwise, if that money were kept in the hands of those who created the wealth, rather than funding government waste, they'd be directed to future Microsofts, Alibabas, Facebooks, Amazons. And so it's not just that the feds are spending $4 trillion a year. Multiply that over the decades, year after year after year. How many Nikes, how many Hilton hotels, how many Disneys, how many Intels never saw the light of day because precious, precious capital was vacuumed up by the feds? How many great companies never saw the light of day because when we purchase treasury debt, our income on it is tax-free? But if we have the temerity to invest in an exciting new company and we actually get a return, which is rare, we owe enormous amounts of tax on it. And so what have we lost in this time? And so my question, what I always say is, I think we've probably lost a cancer cure. We've lost advances that would make the internet seem kind of pedestrian by comparison. We've lost advances that would make air travel of the present seem just incredibly dated and primitive compared to what we would have. You can't progress economically without experimentation. But all the spending is a barrier to experimentation because it removes so much precious capital and people from the private sector.
If the federal government costs $400 billion per year instead, and again, that's $400 billion versus the $4 trillion that we do spend, Americans would earn more, you argue. We have about 20 seconds to close.
Yeah, well, it's really that simple. Think about where we would be if the federal government were much, much smaller. You'd have all sorts of talented people thriving in the private sector, stretching themselves, and you'd have exponentially more dollars chasing new ideas.
All right, John Tamney of freedomworks.org, again, author of The End of Work. Thank you, John, for being with us. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.